Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, back to the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Clearly, when you think about the trade market or the free agent market, it usually hits a crescendo somewhere around winter meetings. And, you know, is there times where you see movement before winter meetings? Sure. And could you see some this year? Yes. But I think, you know, the heavy lifting will probably come the week of winter meetings.
All right, that was John Mozeliak on Sports on a Sunday Morning with Mike Kelly on Sunday Morning. Appropriately named. We're going to be joined in our next segment by Mike Gersh, Cardinals general manager. We'll get Gersh's take on what was accomplished at the GM meetings, how it sets up your offseason, and where the Cardinals go from here. The Cardinals don't comment on individual players or free agents or trade targets. No team does that. But I think an interesting look into how they are positioned this year and how they're positioned potentially to move assets in the trade market. So that comes up next. Then Jim Thome is with Tom Ackerman. That comes right at the bottom of the hour. Chris Rebby with you. It's Dave Sinclair, Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line. Ben Boyd's our executive producer. Mike Anderson's my guy here in the KMOX studios, hanging out until 8 o'clock. Back in a moment with the Cardinals GM.
See, mama, when your heart is in its place, see that smiling face is all I want to hear. See, mama, every time that you want here, it's when you're gone. I feel never want to come back home.
Why do I skate? Why does the King Panther hunt the gazelle? Live.
The Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line continues on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line. Chris Rebby with you on KMOX. We are, 3 weeks away. We will be in Las Vegas for the winter meetings and just back from California and the general manager meetings with the Cardinals contingency is Mike Gersh, Cardinals general manager. Gersh, what's going on, man?
Not too much. How you doing?
We're doing very well. I know that a lot goes on at those meetings. Mo joins Mike Kelly on Sports on a Sunday Morning every week. He kind of gave his perspective of some of what you guys accomplish in terms of, you know, connecting with other clubs, in terms of the industry, some of the things that take place. What was last week like in Southern California for you and your staff?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is it's the kickoff to the off season, and so a lot of it is laying, you know, getting in touch with people who you either talk to over the phone or over text message, but actually, you know, being in the same room with all the other GMs, assistant GMs, presidents of baseball ops, and just chatting about, you know, what people are trying to accomplish this offseason, what people's needs and what they have excess of, getting in front of some of the agents and being able to talk to them, you know, face-to-face. Really, the free agency had just started right before we went to San Diego because of the timing with the World Series ending, so that was really the first opportunity to have conversations with free agents and about free agents with their agents. So a lot of that, and then always doing some industry type meetings where sort of what you'd imagine for any other industry type convention where you get all together and talk about rules and changes and, you know, things at the commissioner's offices putting emphasis on going forward. So it was a productive couple of days.
Give our listeners an idea, because I think a lot of times, you know, especially at the winter meetings, which has become, you know, not just almost a job fair in some respects, but almost a made for TV event. I think that, you know, folks turn it on or turn on MLB Network and they hear the winter meetings and think that, you know, maybe it's, you know, general managers almost like fantasy baseball submitting like trade proposals or texting each other or whatever. Or I think the days are gone of meeting up in the lobby bar. But just in terms of the informality of that event last week, but also kind of how necessary it is for you guys to really in earnest and for the market in earnest to kick off the offseason, how would you describe just the function of it in that respect?
Yeah, I think the winter meetings is a much bigger event. There's, you know, each team is bringing maybe 25 or 30 employees. There's the trainers have their own meetings going on. The strength guys have a meeting. The doctors have a meeting. Each of the minor league affiliates is there, you know, identifying which entertainment product they're going to bring to their stadium for, a Saturday afternoon in May or whatever.
Hall of Fame announcements, stuff like that. Yeah.
Exactly. There's a ton going on. And so
convention.
Exactly. And those meetings are much more, Mo and I spend a lot more time in our suite than we do walking around chatting with people from other teams or with agents. Whereas at the GM meetings, it's a much smaller group. There's, you know, between three and five people from each front office. We have, you know, our breakfast, lunch are catered by the hotel and set up for all of us to sit together and, you know, go to the omelet station and then go sit down and chat with guys from other teams. And what happens at all the meals and all these different events is, you know, you sit down with a group of guys at breakfast, and then, you know, two of you get up at the same time to head into the meetings, and you sort of walk off to the side and talk about your team and your goals and what you're trying to accomplish and share some information. And then, you know, you go off to the meeting, and then at the end of the meeting, you grab some other team as you walk out, you know, again, touch base with them, maybe follow up on something that you had discussed, you know, over the phone back in October. And it's actually one of the few times during the year that I actually get to interact with people from other organizations like quite a bit, you know, because most of the rest of the time we're all running in different directions, and you might pass, you know, somebody if they're visiting for a series or if you're visiting their stadium for a series, but you never get together in big groups like this, really, other than the GM meetings and to a lesser extent the winter meetings.
Yeah, a lot more media at the winter meetings, which is a treat for you. A lot more chance to hang out with us.
Yeah, there are a lot of the winter meetings, like you said, it's almost like a made for TV. You can't go through the lobby without being in the background of someone's live shot or, you know, stumbling onto an MLB Network, setup or something. So that's why a lot of times we just try to avoid going through the lobby, because it's a zoo.
Yeah, nothing glitzy and glamorous like a bunch of media members milling around waiting to overhear something. Mike Gersh, Cardinals general manager, is with us. So how would you describe, Mike, and I know, you know, Mo has talked about it, and we had a sit down at the end of the year about a month ago or maybe less than that, but how would you describe, as you just mentioned, your goals for this offseason as we sit here in the middle of November, a week away from Thanksgiving?
Well, I think we are in a somewhat unique position where we have a full roster that we could go to war with if we needed to tomorrow. I mean, we don't have any glaring weaknesses or a spot where we just don't have a position player to fill or a pitcher to take a spot in the rotation, because we didn't really lose very much over the off season through via free agency. So we do have some opportunities to upgrade. The bullpen obviously could use a little bit of help if that works. That also can come from some of the guys who are, you know, currently could be starting pitchers but might end up in the bullpen depending on how things play out. And then we're always looking for that big upgrade. We feel like we've created a very deep organization. We have, you know, we have, depending on how you look at it, 8 or 10 guys who could be big league starters next year in the rotation. And obviously we're not going to break with all 8 of them in our rotation. And so there's opportunities to potentially move some of our depth in a way that, you know, add some high end talent. And that's the goal. That was similar to the goal last year when we were able to acquire Marcell Ozuna, trying to find those sorts of, high-end talent where we can to upgrade.
Yeah, I want to get to that in a minute and get to your roster in a minute, but just the landscape, it's such an interesting offseason and maybe the precursor for what we're going to see and trends years to come as
players reach the big leagues younger and younger, and thus reach free agency younger and younger. As you just alluded to, you've got ammo and you can move pieces to acquire a player. How do you weigh acquisition cost when it's simply dollars, but those dollars that'll be handed out to guys this year could come with real long-term contracts, and you weigh maybe that full commitment, not just the front end of the commitment, versus maybe more team-friendly or controlled contracts when you have to give up assets to acquire them?
Yeah, so one of the challenges is putting a value on players, right? Like because you have to compare a free agent signing where you know the cost is all cash to a trade where you're taking on some salary or some existing contract, but you're also giving up players. You know, we need to be able to assign some sort of dollar value to our players that we would be trading away, and you know, and compare those acquisition costs as best we can in an apples to apples way. And so that's what we do. That's what a lot of our guys in the front office are working on all the time, is how best to predict future performance and how to translate that future performance into something that we can compare to a free agent contract. So, you know, eventually work it back into a dollars and cents valuation of players, of contracts, of performance, so that we can make those sorts of comparisons in a way that, you know, it's never perfect, and you can value a prospect or a player and have them overperform or underperform, but at least at the time of the acquisition, given the best information we have from our analytics, from our scouts, from everything, you know, how do we value this player that we're either giving up or acquiring in a trade?
It's crazy just to think about, and not to get too hypothetical, but just think about, you know, where some of these deals are headed and some of the players that could reach free agency over the next 3, 4, 5 years. You know, it was 20 years ago, December, I believe, of 98, when Kevin Brown became the first $100 million player in baseball. It's like $105 million, 7 years, an AAV of $15 million. Now you've got qualifying offers that are like $18 million a year. It's nuts.
Yeah, I think inflation in our game is you know, it's not just on the salary side for players. I mean, our revenues have gone up too,
yeah.
And our TV contracts have gone up. And you know, I don't know what a person in my role made 25 years ago, but I suspect I'm making more than they are too, right? It's sort of the nature of inflation across the economy in general, but specifically in baseball, it's a higher rate of inflation, which means, you know, you explain to your dad some of these contracts and he's like, well, back in my day, and you're like, oh boy, here we go.
Played for the love of the game.
Definitely real. Exactly. Ooh,
steelworkers
exactly.
In the off season. Yeah. So you mentioned what you guys have built, the depth you have, and what that allows you to do in terms of potentially moving assets. When you think, Mike, about the farm system, what you guys have built, the money you've invested, how you've drafted and developed players over the last 5, 6, 7 years, how would you compare where you are right now to maybe where the farm system was, let's say 5 years ago?
You know, I think we've got a very strong farm system. I think sometimes the definition of these things can be a little complicated. So when, you know, for your fans who will follow, you know, things like Baseball America and rankings of our prospects and our farm system, I don't think we will be, you know, in the top elite of that. But that's partially because last year we brought up a lot of guys who, you know, when we made some changes in our bullpen and brought up guys like Hudson and Gomber and Ponce de Leon and brought Tyler O'Neill back up and got him some playing time, there's a number of players who are no longer technically prospects by the definition that most publications will use, because they're not rookie of the year eligible for next year, but they're young players who, you know, are still at the very, you know, beginning of their career and just sort of breaking into the big leagues. And so I think we're in a really good spot in terms of young talent. Some of it's already in the big leagues, some of it's been in the big leagues for a couple of years, and some of it's still, you know, trickling its way up. But we there's a reason that Memphis has been 2-time defending PCL champs. There's a lot of talent at the high end of our minor leagues, and there's some exciting young players, guys like Nolan Gorman, who we drafted in the first round last year, who are farther down and just starting their careers. So we're in good shape. We're excited about where we are.
Well, and I have to imagine you take a lot of pride in what you've built, considering where you guys draft every year. You haven't had the bottom out couple of years in the last decade. Even a team like the Red Sox were the beneficiaries of a few last place finishes. I mean, you know, you guys have done it while drafting at the back of the pack every year.
Yeah, there's one day a year when drafting in the mid 20s is a little depressing, and that's on draft day. But the rest of the year, having records that have you drafting in the mid 20s is the whole goal. So if I spend my whole career here and never have a pick and, you know, better than 15 or 19 or whatever our best pick in the last decade has been, I'm totally fine with that.
A couple more minutes with Mike Gersh, Cardinals general manager. On the pitching side, the MAC, in conjunction with KMOX, announced today Miles Michaelis is the Sports Personality of the Year award winner at the Jack Buck Awards in December. He was an all-star for you guys, incredible numbers. Are there thoughts right now of trying to explore potentially going down the road of keeping Miles in St. Louis long-term, Mike?
You know, Miles had a great year. I think he, when we approached Miles about his contract a year ago, he wanted to have a 2-year deal because we would have gladly added options or added a third year, but he wanted to bet on himself because he thought he could come back and show what a different pitcher he was coming back from Japan than when he had left. At this point, we're focused on off-season issues that are more pressing than Miles, since we have him under control for next year. But that's a conversation that we'll have, you know, at some point down the road. And as always, we try to do these things outside of the public scope. So when the time's right, we'll figure out whether that makes sense. But it's not a focus right now.
How about Alex Reyes? Can you give an update on any information you have regarding his off-season, his continued recovery, and maybe some of the excitement, albeit perhaps tempered, about what you expect him to be ready to contribute in spring training and into the start of the regular season?
Yeah, so Alex is, he's, you know, kind of going through a fairly normal offseason. He's playing catch right now. He's doing physical therapy. He's down in Florida, so he's visiting our Jupiter complex from time to time so that we can lay eyes on him. And he's progressing, and we expect him to come to spring training basically ready to go. And what role we ultimately have him in will depend on both how he's feeling, how he's recovering from his days of his, you know, each time he pitches, but also sort of what we end up doing over the next, you know, 6 weeks or so as we sort of begin to set the team for next year. But we're optimistic that he's going to be ready to go when spring training starts and that he's going to be a big part of what we do in 2019.
Is it exciting to have so many arms who have already succeeded at various levels and in various roles? And I know that, you know, the model of bullpenning or a starter and an opener, whatever, irrespective to that, but to have had guys who have succeeded in multiple roles at high levels in the minors and in the big leagues, Mike, what kind of flexibility does that give you guys? Because you alluded to earlier, you know, only five guys can start, and certainly you'll need more than that over the course of a year, and guys will get hurt. But in order to have just kind of the war chest that you guys have from a pitching standpoint right now, what does that do for you?
No, it makes it much easier entering the offseason not knowing you have to go acquire a starting pitcher. I mean, there's anytime that you're in that position, there's never as many good starting pitchers out there as there are teams looking to improve their rotation, and it can put you in a spot where you're chasing a bad deal. And it also gives us flexibility in where these guys end up. Like I said, there are several of these guys who have pitched out of the bullpen a little bit this year, guys like Hudson and Gomber, Ponce, they all had some time in the bullpen where they hadn't previously, but they all have that experience now. And so as we work through this off season and ultimately into spring training, there's flexibility with how and where everyone pitches, which means we can do our, you know, we can set our roster and our pitching staff up where we have guys, our best guys in the big leagues, whether it's in the bullpen or the rotation, and still keep guys in Memphis who are ready to go if they need to step in. Because, as you said, you know, you never make it through the season with only five starters, so you got to be ready to have two or three or four, you know, ready to go to step in when you need them.
Hey, Gersh, final thing. We had an awesome chat with your new hitting coach, Jeff Albert, a couple of weeks ago, and he was telling me the story of how he basically grinded and, you know, had a website and was making videos and was writing about hitting and connecting with guys at clinics and conventions and anything he could do and blasting out emails. I know something you can certainly empathize with given, you know, how you ended up connecting with the Cardinals organization. But, you know, just from an industry standpoint, knowing Jeff and knowing kind of what he's done to get to where he is, what can you tell us about Jeff as not just the hitting coach, but Jeff as a person and as a baseball guy as well?
So Jeff is a very bright guy, and he's one of these sort of
lifetime his Twitter feed is very confusing. It uses a lot of big words.
He does, and that really that Twitter feed is not a bad like.
It's awesome.
It's a pretty good look into like how he thinks and how he approaches things, and when he tweets out things not just from baseball. He pays attention to other industry, you know, other sports, other coaches, other approaches of learning skills. Sure. He's just a very open to, you know, search for the best way to help players, you know, maximize their potential. And that's what everyone's looking for, is people who aren't satisfied with, you know, well, this is how we've always done it, so this is how we're going to do it, but are willing to constantly be looking for that next edge. And whether that edge is in, you know, data that you collect or some sort of piece of software or piece of hardware that you attach to the bat or whatever, or whether it's just in how you present, how you speak, how you convey a message about the movements that you want them to make. He's searching for that edge everywhere he can. And you know, he was with us for, several years back, something like 2008 through 2011 or 12. And he made an impact. He was a very good hitting coach, and a lot of guys with us still talk to him and talk about him as a hitting coach. So he was went off to Houston for a few years, but he's back now, and we're really excited to have him back and look forward to the impact he can make on the organization.
Cardinals GM Mike Gersh. Hey, Gersh, appreciate it, man. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving with the family. All the best, and we will see you in Vegas here in a couple of weeks.
Sounds good. I'll see you there.
This is the Dave Sinclair, Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line.
Russell looks, throws inside. Oh, my God! It's picked off at the goal line!
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
I'm Tom Ackerman. Welcome back to KMOX, and what a treat to be joined by Jim Thome. The Hall of Famer is going to be at the Musial Awards on Saturday night at Stiefel Theater. As a matter of fact, he is receiving one of the top honors. The Stan Musial Lifetime Achievement Award for Sportsmanship will go to Jim Thome. First of all, great to have you on KMOX. How are you?
Well, I am great, Tom. Thanks for having me on. And, you know, I've done the rounds this week and have talked to a lot of the St. Louis media. We are so excited to, come to St. Louis and be a part of this great event. I got to tell you, doing a little bit of research on the Stan Musial event, it's just so incredible, and to be invited and to be honored in that regard. Any time I think you can be associated with Mr. Musial is just such an honor. We're so thrilled, so excited, and really look forward to coming in this weekend.
What does that name mean to you, Stan Musial?
Well, so many things. I think just, the way he conducted himself, the way he put, well, the, let's start with the player. The player was obviously one of the greatest of all time. I mean, you look at his numbers are absolutely incredible. I mean, he had 1,815 hits on the road and at home. I think his lifetime average is .331. He was, I think, 25 home runs short of .500. He hit 17 home runs. A lot of people may not know this, but he hit 17 home runs against Warren Spahn, one of the greatest lefties of all time. The stats go on and on. And watching his swing and kind of, you know, working at the network, I've seen Stan swing a little bit on the clips, and just such a pretty left-handed, pure kind of swing. But the man himself, I think, speaks in such high regard. Anybody you ever talk to in the game that is just has either met him or been associated with him has just, you know, had nothing but great things to say. And, you know, again, when they had asked me about this or said that I could be honored as, you know, with this award, I mean, it I couldn't answer yes more quickly. It was so exciting and so much fun to just, I don't know, just to be, have your name associated with fans, because he is so beloved, not only in the St. Louis area, but also, you know, around baseball. We're really excited to come in and hang out and just be a part of this great event.
Well, really, really excited to have you, the Peoria, Illinois native Jim Thome, with us on KMOX, the home of the Cardinals. And like Stan Musial, you played 22 seasons in the big leagues. You played for a number of clubs, and really every stop, people said the same things about you. Great teammate, great person. Many times that I've been around you and I've seen you talk to players, both teammates and opponents, but also the way you handle the media. And look, I know that there is often a barrier between media, players, managers, et cetera. But, you know, just like, let's say most recently, just watching you handle questions in Cooperstown and talk to the media there until the last person left that room was really just a testament to you.
Well, I appreciate that. That means a lot. And I guess being in the media now a little bit with my job with the network, you understand that everyone has a job to do, and it's about, I think, you know, having good balance and understanding that there, you know, this is a part of, I think, what puts baseball out there is our reporters, our beat writers, our analysts, our newscasters, and I think it's what promotes our great game. So, you know, I think, again, all in balance, but there are so many, I will say this, there are so many role models in the game that do the same thing, and to be considered a part of someone that does that is a great thing. I mean, hopefully you can pass that torch down to the guys that maybe will go on and do that in their careers as well. So I really appreciate that. That means a lot.
What a career you had, a slugger and a tremendous presence at the plate. You were one of five players in Major League history with at least 500 home runs, 1,500 runs scored, 1,600 RBIs, and 1,700 walks. You talk about stats to throw out. Also, you have 13 walk-off home runs. That's more than any other player in big league history. That aforementioned group that you were in, the other four, Barry Bonds, Mel Ott, Babe Ruth, and Ted Williams. That's some company right there.
It is. It absolutely is. And you can't ever, I think when you start playing the game, you don't ever look and say, okay, you're going to do this, or I'm going to have these numbers, or this is going to happen. I think what happens is you continue the grind, you continue the process. And if you're fortunate to play a lot of years, which I was, and understand that up and down grind of what it takes, I guess, to once you find your swing, how do you keep it? And then if you don't have your swing, what's the right amount of work and how do you find it? That was always the challenge for me, was once I felt like I found it, being a guy that obviously struck out, swung and missed, I always wanted to keep that happy balance of, okay, how do I keep this and how do I withstand, you know, will this last for 5 to 8 days, sometimes 10 days, but then it'll go back to, you know, the other way as well, where you got to work just as hard to get back to that area.
Hall of Famer Jim Thome is this year's recipient of the Stan Musial Lifetime Achievement Award for Sportsmanship at the Musial Awards, which are all about sportsmanship, this Saturday at the Stiefel Theater in St. Louis. Peoria is a blue-collar, tough town with great sports, and you had to be tough to compete in sports in that town, didn't you, Jim? And did that benefit you throughout your entire career?
You know what? It did, actually. And I, you know, speaking of Peoria, I think everyone knows about the high school basketball around the Peoria area, Peoria Manual, Peoria Central. I went to Bartonville Limestone, but kind of grew up down near the area of Manual High School. And one of the things you learn quickly was, you know, is to be, like you're saying, be tough. You know, it makes you compete. It makes you want to be a good competitor. And all those great from my childhood on through high school, playing in open gyms, playing in playing baseball in fields where we would get, you know, we'd get a team and then a guy, another group would form a team. But those were the days that I felt like you learned the game. And we just loved playing, whether it was basketball, baseball. But ultimately, we had a lot of respect for each other, but we also wanted to compete and show everyone that, hey, I belong here, and I feel like maybe that helped me at a young age then be a competitor as I got into, obviously, the minor leagues and then, you know, throughout the big league, my big league career.
You've also helped many charities throughout the major leagues and all of your stops, and certainly right there in Peoria and throughout Illinois.
Yeah.
Jim, the importance of community and kids today who are growing up playing the game, what sort of advice would you pass along to them? And by the way, not only are kids listening to this right now, but coaches and parents around the country.
Well, I will say this. I was very, and I've been very fortunate to have my parents. My lovely wife, Andrea, has been a big part over my career in helping set the foundation. So the number one thing for me is, and you see guys doing it today. Anthony Rizzo does a wonderful job with it around the Chicago area. I'm sure there's a few of the Cardinal guys that do the same thing around St. Louis. But the player has to establish the relationship with where they want to do their charities and who they want to work with. And then you have to form a group with your parents, with your wife, with friends, with the organizations, the Children's Hospital of Peoria, the Children's Home and Aid in Chicago, the Therapeutic Writing Center in Cleveland. I mean, the list goes on. But for me, what I realized, Tom, it wasn't about me. It was more than just the player. It was about us, and I say us and we, coming together and forming this group, and to try to make kids laugh or kids smile. When you would go to a hospital and visit a kid, spend the extra 2 minutes or 3 minutes and truly, when you look in their eye, you understand that, gosh, you're really making them happy. And I feel so blessed that I was able to be around great people that helped guide me in that direction and still do today. I feel like you can always learn. You can always want to get better and listen to, you know, the organizations and your wife and your, you know, unfortunately, my mom is no longer around, but I really relied on my mother a lot to help guide me in that direction, because I was playing baseball during the course of the year for so many months, and it was a fabulous thing. When I was blessed to win the Roberto Clemente Award, that was more than just me. That was an award for all of us, and I felt very proud of that.
And it really carried you through your career as a player, I'm certain. It helped you become a great player, knowing that you were doing all of those things in so many different areas. And look where it took you. I mean, it took you to Cooperstown. You were in the Baseball Hall of Fame. I told you this off the air, but I saw you at the Otisaga Hotel on a beautiful afternoon. You're out there with your family, enjoying lunch, looking out over the lake. And I thought, I wonder what's going through his mind right now, one day or a couple days before he gives that big speech. What a weekend that was.
It was absolutely the best weekend I've ever been a part of. I mean, and to sit back and to watch my dad and watch my kids and watch my brothers and sisters and friends from Peoria, guys I played with from Minnesota to Philly to Chicago, you know, and I'm sure they were on the other side looking out at me and wondering what I was feeling. But from my view, I really tried to embrace everything that was involved. From we talked, you know, before I came on about, you know, embracing the porch, you know, mm-hmm. at the Otisaga, you know, and when Ozzie Smith or when Dave Winfield or Eddie Murray walks in, you know, just really getting Johnny Bench. I mean, the list goes on, and embracing that special moment. And the best part is you get to do it every year. You get to go back and be a part of this great fraternity that I've been so blessed to be a part of. And I never was in college. I never was in a fraternity. So to say that I'm now a part of this one is just so great and so humbling. And I'm proud and honored to be a part of it.
Well, we can't wait to see you on stage at Stiefel Theater for the Musial Awards. You'll receive the Stan Musial Lifetime Achievement Award for Sportsmanship on Saturday. I believe there are still a couple of tickets left, but last I heard, they were very close to capacity. It's going to make for a great event. You will never forget it. I'm certain of that. If you want to check to see if there are any tickets left, I'd go to musialawards.com right away and see if you can snag a couple. Jim Thome currently is an analyst with MLB Network. He is a Hall of Famer, and he is the recipient of that great award on Saturday, and it's always good to have you on KMOX Radio.
Thank you so much for having me. We look forward to coming down to St. Louis, and we got some friends coming to this event, and just being a part of this great thing that they've been able to do for many years. It'll be really fun. Thank you.
Outstanding. We appreciate it. Have a great one. We'll see you Saturday.
Thanks, Tom.
There's Hall of Famer Jim Thome. I'm Tom Ackerman. We're back after this on KMOX.
This is the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line.
I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, a big thanks to John Kelly and Blues head coach Mike Yeo, as well as Darren Pang. Thank you to Cardinals GM Mike Gersh, Jim Thome as well. Ben Boyd, our executive producer, Mike Anderson's my guy, who's going to hang out with John Hancock over the next couple of hours. Then it's Ryan Recker. This has been the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line. I'll be back with you tomorrow, Sports Open Line, 6:15, until Blues pregame skate. At 8:30, then the puck drop from Vegas at 9 o'clock. Until then, Chris Ravey saying, be nice to each other, and as always, peace.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.